From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, June 15th, 2017. And on this day, we'll have a report on U.S. Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke's visit to Katahdin Woods and Waters, and a new network for cancer care in Maine and New Hampshire. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
First tonight, some news or non-news from Augusta. The likelihood of a partial shutdown of state government come July 1st is growing as lawmakers have reached an impasse in budget negotiations. Mal Leary has that story.
After a day of private meetings attempting to reach a budget compromise, the conference committee finally met in public, where House Speaker Sarah Gideon blasted House Republicans for not being willing to negotiate. She said Senate Republicans and Senate Democrats, as well as House Democrats, have been willing to move on the school funding issues. House Republicans, she says, have not. They want repeal of the voter-approved income tax surcharge on Mainers making over $200,000 a year and are only willing to add $50 million in new school funding, while the surtax would bring in about $140 million a year. While lawmakers are continuing to talk in private, time is running out. Governor LePage is expected to veto the budget, and he has 10 days once he receives the budget to do that. The current budget runs out June 30th. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke says he expects to make a recommendation about the future of the Katahdin Woods and Waters National Monument in the next 80 days. Zinke's reviewing 27 monuments, and on the second day of his visit to the Millinocket region, he offered some encouragement to local supporters. As Susan Sharon reports, Zinke says he hasn't ruled out recommending that Congress go a step further and establish it as a national park instead.
During a tour of the National Monument on Wednesday, Zinke sounded mostly upbeat. He said everyone should be grateful for the Quimby family's gift of what he described as beautiful ground. But not everyone is. There are still signs critical of the monument on the way to the south entrance, and Governor LePage has criticized it as a mosquito-infested wasteland. Zinke says he's confident there's a way forward, one that could include more traditional uses on the property. And on day two of his trip to Maine, he offered a hint of what might be in store.
We have an opportunity to do something different here, and you can harvest timber, you can hunt, you can respect traditional uses in a confines of a monument or a park. And so we're looking at the appropriateness of a monument vice a park and looking at how would we do that.
Establishing a national park requires congressional approval. It's something landowner Roxanne Quimby and her son Lucas St. Clair have always wanted. Most national parks, including Maine's own Acadia National Park, began as monuments first. But members of Maine's congressional delegation have never moved forward with the necessary legislation for Katahdin Woods and Waters. Zinke says their support would be essential.
So it'd be unlikely to pursue that unless I have support from the congressional delegation.
For Gail Fanjoy, the recent president of the Katahdin Area Chamber of Commerce, the fact that Zinke is even considering that possibility is a big relief. During a breakfast meeting with him Thursday morning, Fanjoy appealed to his 22-year background as a Navy SEAL when she said the region is in a fight for its very survival. Mills have closed, stores have shuttered, half the population has been lost over the past two decades. The local hospital is struggling to hang on. But the monument, she says, has been a spark.
You know, things started to happen, small things, but really important things.
Things, she says, like property values starting to go up, business investments, and more tourists coming to the area. Before the meeting, she says she was anxious about the monument's future. But after hearing Zinke's words, she says she's not.
You know, when he said to me, you don't have to worry. And when he was making plans for our monument for the future, when he referred to it as a national park, when he said this makes more sense to be a national park. And of course, we totally agree.
3 years ago, the Chamber's board came out unanimously in support of a national park and national recreation area. But as time went on and the congressional delegation was reluctant to submit legislation, Fanjoy says the chamber opted for the monument designation instead. National park status, she says, would create a higher profile brand for the Katahdin region.
It's a very realistic option, and it's something that we worked on for a long time, and we hope that our congressional delegation ultimately does pass legislation.
Lucas St. Clair, the monument's chief spokesperson, says he discussed the possibility with Secretary Zinke, who says he wants to make sure that local cultural traditions are included. St. Clair says establishing a national park could do that in a way a monument designation can't.
You know, a proclamation doesn't have legislative authority. So we could say that the cultural heritage of the forest products industry could be interpreted here. All the structures could be built out of Maine wood, that local guides and outfitters would have preferential treatment when they apply for permits. You know, those types of things could be added to it that just can't be done through a proclamation.
Whatever Zinke decides, business owners say his review of the monument has brought them even closer together. When Fanjoy asked the 40 people at the breakfast meeting to stand up if they support the monument, no one remained seated. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
Today, Maine Health launched the Cancer Care Network thanks to a $10 million grant from the Harold Alphon Foundation. The network links Maine Health's 12 members, as well as the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston, and Maine Health officials say it'll provide the best care, cancer care possible for patients all around the state. Patty White has more.
Cancer is the leading cause of death in Maine, and every year there are 9,000 new cases diagnosed, says the chief of oncology at Maine Medical Center, Dr. Scott Remick.
We need to build an enterprise that can take care of those patients, and cancer care is evolving like no other aspect of medicine.
To provide better care that will make more patients survivors, Maine Health is launching a Cancer Care Network. The company says it creates stronger links between Maine Health members across the state. Currently, says Dr. Remick, larger hospitals have specialized physician boards to consult on specific cancer cases. The network makes that available to smaller hospitals.
Now you can refer that case into our system-level tumor board to have a little bit more insight in terms of how best to care for a patient.
The network also promises to create stronger ties with the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Dana-Farber oncologist Dr. Beth Overmoyer says the institute will collaborate with Maine Health doctors on patient cases and provide expedited access for those who need treatment in Boston.
We see a fair number of cases from this area, and we want to be part of the solution by making sure that people in Maine have easy access to the level of care that they need.
Ideally, that care will be provided closer to home whenever possible. To help with that, the network is expanding its number of nurse navigators who coordinate patient care. Sanford resident Penny Jakes says when she was diagnosed with breast cancer a year ago, her nurse navigator was indispensable.
The nurse navigator set everything up for me. I didn't know who to call, and she just set me up with all of my appointments. I didn't have to worry about it. And she went with me on a couple of the appointments. And it was just a peace of mind because, I mean, your head is kind of spinning.
Jakes, who attended the announcement about the network, says she's doing well now. Her oncologist, Dr. Eva Zaslavsky, says the network strives to ensure every cancer patient in the Maine Health System to receive that same kind of support, whether through a navigator or innovative treatment options.
Right now, we don't have a strong clinical trial program. We are planning to expand on that, and I think Dana-Farber would provide a lot of expertise and guidance with that.
Maine Health has been building this cancer care network for a few years, but company officials say it's the $10 million infusion from the Harold Alphon Foundation that made it a reality. The chair of the foundation, Greg Powell, says the official launch also marks the 10th anniversary of Harold Alphon's death from cancer.
He saw firsthand how care delivered in a coordinated, patient-centered manner can make all the difference for the patient and the patient's family.
And as cancer treatments evolve rapidly, Dr. Scott Remick says the network puts Maine Health in a good position to provide state-of-the-art care for all of its patients. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Thursday, June 15th, 2017. Thanks to our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.